This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you a conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a special guest. For more information about Day One, which brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
I'm Peter Wallace, and this is a Day One conversation with Sarah Winsett Wiles, the 2008 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, presented by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, New York. Sarah graduated in May of 2008 from Union Theological Seminary in New York City, earning a Master of Divinity degree. In 2004, she graduated magna cum laude from Wake Forest University, where she studied religion and psychology. Sarah, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
We spoke on the Day One program about the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award that you received in 2008. It was established in 1990 to honor Dr. Reed, who was senior minister of Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church for 34 years. But tell us about the process. What did you have to do to be considered?
There's a fairly lengthy application, and you have to turn in two sermons, recordings of two sermons that were preached in front of live audiences. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, along with exegetical papers that address the text from those sermons. And then I think you had to have a transcript and a couple of recommendations, as well as then some essays about, you know, how do you come by this calling? And I think there was biographical information in there, that sort of thing.
And it goes through a lay committee and then a committee of preachers and scholars as well at the church.
That's right. That's right. That's what I understand.
Your father taught Old Testament at a seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, where you grew up. Did he bring his work home? Is that how you became interested in going to seminary?
I don't know. I think to some degree, when we're children, whatever it is our parents do, that's sort of like what adults do.
Uh-huh.
And so you think I should do that. He didn't bring it home, per se, I don't think, except that when my brother and I had those childhood questions about faith, he had a theological education behind his answers, and that could make for interesting dinner table conversation sometimes, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, some people rebel from this immersion in church life from birth onward, such as you have had. What happened to you?
I didn't, which I don't know if that's just an accommodating personality, but I think it wasn't just that. I think another big component, two things that led to me not rebelling against Christianity. One was that I had a healthy church environment. So I was surrounded by adults who got along and who treated each other and children in good ways, and by other peers who, you know, were encouraged to act in godly ways. So that was really important. And then secondly, I think having parents who had grown-up faiths, who had sort of looked at the reality of how the Bible's crafted, the reality of how science and faith have to interact in our world, looked at the reality of suffering in the world, and had forged their own faith, and recognize that doubt is just essential to faith, mm-hmm. that those two are not separate things. And so as I moved through an adolescent period of my faith, that was okay. It was never outside the realm of what was all right for a Christian to believe. And having that kind of nurturing hold was just essential, I think.
You studied religion and psychology at Wake Forest University. What were you up to after you graduated and before you headed to seminary?
I took a year off. Mm-hmm. I went out to the West Coast and did some volunteering at a homeless shelter and worked a retail job. My grandfather, I'm told, always said that one should take a year between degrees, and it was good for me, for sure.
What were some of your favorite areas of study in seminary at Union?
It was all wonderful.
He loved it all.
I did. I found myself really drawn to Bible courses, and really drawn to theology. I enjoyed preaching and classes around worship, but I can't think of a field where there wasn't a class I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. as you are pursuing a call to a parish ministry, you're working at the seminary now. What are you up to?
I work in the development office there, and I work closely with the president's office. And so I do some fundraising in these hard economic times, and I also help coordinate special events and do some alumni relations programs.
Union has a new president.
Union does have a new president. We inaugurated Serene Jones in November, and so we're having a great first year with her, and it's really exciting times up there.
We're talking with Sarah Winsett-Wiles, the 2008 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, given by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, New York. Sarah, one issue many of our churches are dealing with is how to reach younger people. First of all, what is the church doing right in ministering to young people, young adults?
Well, I think one of the biggest things the church is doing right is ministering to them. Anytime a church looks around and says, well, I don't think we're paying enough attention to these folks. Mm-hmm. Let's pay some. I think that's right. And that's the biggest step, I think, period.
In terms of content, what should the church be doing in communicating the gospel message to young people? How should the message be crafted?
You know, I'm of two minds here. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I'm really traditional in a lot of ways, and I feel like the gospel is just as good news today as it was 2,000 years ago. It is just, I mean, breathtaking mm-hmm. that God is gracious and loves us. And so I can be distrustful of efforts to make that any more relevant than it is. And I think also, that it is important to stay in touch with where the world is today and to recognize the ways that communication is changing, the ways that relationships change. So taking into account that relationships really do occur on Facebook. So I think of the moderator and the vice moderator of the Presbyterian General Assembly mm-hmm. are on Facebook mm-hmm. now. And I think that's neat. I can send them a message. And to model, I think it can be wise for the church to look at other realms of society that do this well. So we have a great example of a political campaign mm-hmm. that reached out to young voters in a way that no other political campaigns have done. And whatever we think about, that campaign, it's worth looking at strategies and mm-hmm. finding ways that we can make them work in our communities.
Are there specific sorts of services or activities or programs, do you think, that young people are looking for from churches that they're not getting?
You know, I think young people, whatever that mm-hmm, means, whether right. it's 2-year-olds or 40-year-olds, are really just like other people. Mm-hmm. And we vary a lot. And some young folks really want to sing hymns, and some young folks really want to sing praise and worship music. So, to be honest, I think the task is to get to know the people who live in our neighborhoods. Mm. And if we live in a neighborhood with 20-year-olds, then we need to get to know them. And if we don't, then I don't think we need to take that as a sign mm-hmm. that our church is failing mm-hmm. either. You know, I think we really need to embrace a return to our parishes, to who's around us and what do they need.
Of course, you've been immersed in seminary life and ministry, but how would you describe your personal spiritual life? What are your ways of encountering God personally?
You know, I feel like the myth or the story is that you go to seminary and you lose your faith or you lose your religion, but I feel like I found mine. So, seminary introduced me to all sorts of cool things that have become a consistent part of my life. Like sitting in silence in the mornings is something I do most mornings of the week, simply to listen and be receptive to God. Regular Bible reading's been a part of my life since childhood, but in seminary I learned new ways to imagine the texts and to let them enter my brain in a non-analytic way so that maybe the Spirit can move more freely. And those, I think, are the cornerstones right now of my personal prayer life. And then the other essential is regular attendance with other Christians at mm-hmm. worship. I couldn't be a Christian without that.
Mm. I always like to ask our visiting preachers, are there particular books or resources that you found especially helpful in your own spiritual growth?
I've taken tremendous help from Anne Lamott. Mm-hmm. I think she gets grace. Mm-hmm. She gets like the messiness of the world and how funny that is and how utterly amazing it is that mm-hmm. we're all still here and it's okay. So I take a lot of comfort from her. And Kathleen Norris has mm-hmm. been really helpful to me as I learn how to pray and how to see God in the world around me and how to incorporate parts of myself I might not like.
Sarah, thanks so much for visiting with us.
It was wonderful. Thank you.